Please rise if you are able and join me in our call to worship. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart in your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever.
For great is your steadfast love toward me.
You have delivered my soul
from the depths of Sheol.
This morning, we are belatedly recognizing our high school and college graduates. Each one is being recognized with a handmade graduation card by Cindy Sheets, one of our members. We thank her a lot for doing that for us. We also have gifts for them. A book that Reverend Allison introduced us to, Make Your Bed, by the retired Naval Admiral, for some of them. And a book that I found last summer called Reforesting Faith by Matthew Sleeth. He is no longer an emergency room physician. He was an atheist, and he is now an evangelist, and this book talks a lot about how trees are so important not only to us but in the Bible and to the continuing path of God's Word. It's very interesting reading. And both of these, by the end of the summer, we'll have copies, one of each, in the library. Okay, our first graduate to recognize is Jonathan Patterson. He graduated from Watkins Memorial High School in whatever fashion they had. He is a member of the Army National Guard, going for Black Hawk mechanic training. He will be leaving in October, and then when he returns, he plans to attend school for mechanic certification. His parents are Tim and Mindy. His grandparents are Glee and Richard. He has a sister, Kaylin, and brothers, Matthew and Mark. Congratulations, Jonathan. And we also... And each graduate is also receiving a prayer scarf from the Prayer Shawl Ministry. From college, we have Allie McLean. And she is a double graduate, so she's kind of special. Her bag's in back. She gets both those books. She graduated in December from Zane State with an Associate of Applied Business Management with emphasis on marketing management, and then this month from Avita Institute with a certification as a, and I'm not sure how to say that word. And what is that? Ah, skincare. Wonderful. Her parents are Phil and Julie. Bernie Baldwin is her grandfather. Casey and Will Lenhart are her sister and brother-in-law. Congratulations. And her cousin, Corey Sidwell, graduated from Mercyhurst University. She earned her bachelor's in intelligent studies last spring, but she still had a year of eligibility, so she stayed and got her master's in criminal justice administration, graduating summa cum laude. She was the two-year captain of the women's basketball team, recipient of the Graduate Student CJA Program Award, and she's currently an analyst for Touchstone Global Security. Lou and Terry are her parents. Bernie Baldwin is her grandfather. Katie and Dave Brown are sister and brother-in-law, and Karen and Jared Cox are sister and brother-in-law. Our next graduate was unable to be with us. It's Greg Starkey. He's a graduate of Grand Canyon University with a Master's of Science in Business Analytics, and he is currently the Business Intelligence Developer for Stanley Steemer in Dublin. His mother is Deborah Starkey, and his sister is Krista Starkey. And our last one is Olivia Renee Thompson. Don't know whether anybody from the family made it or not. I talked to her dad on Monday. Nancy Thompson is her grandmother, and she turned in the information. She graduated from Capital University with a BS in biology, summa cum laude. We have smart kids in here. Wow. She plans to attend medical school, but the way her testing cycle fell, she has to wait out a year before she will have a medical school to go to. So she's currently working in Columbus, but she plans to go on to medical school. Susan and Tim Thompson are her parents. Nancy Thompson is her grandmother. Electa and Molly are sisters, and Aaron is a brother. So we congratulate all our graduates. Oh. And I have one other one to announce that we just found out about. Zane Manili, the family kind of kept it quiet, but he graduated from Zane State this spring, and Charlene Nolan is the grandmother, and Julie, and I can't remember, Steve Manili are his parents, and he's got a brother, Logan. And I'm not sure what his degree was in. I didn't get that information. What did he graduate in? IT and web design. So we do have a scarf and a card for him. So thank you. Oh, yes, and one other thing. I don't have it written down. I'm not scripted like I usually am. There are bags in the back. If you brought a card for them, you can slip it in their named bag. And then as you go out the door, please take a grab-and-go cupcake. Catherine Allison made those for us. She slaved away yesterday, I know, because she didn't get the containers from me till yesterday. But they are labeled what kind they are. So enjoy those. And graduates, be sure you get one. And at the end of the service, we hope the three of you will be out underneath the portico there, the covered walkway, and you can wave congratulations to them as you leave.
Please rise as you are able. When we fail to live as God's people, we are like flowers which give way to weeds. But God seeks us out not to condemn us, but to comfort, to forgive, and to bring us home. Let us stop playing hide and seek with our God as we confess our sins together, saying,
Insolently we turn against you, God of truth. when we follow those desires that control us, when we live for ourselves, shutting off the gifts of those around us, when we think we do not need to share love, hope, peace with others, we show how we have joined that league of hooligans who ignore your way of life. Yet you have chosen to adopt us as your children, God who stands with us, forgiving us and making us inheritors with Jesus of your grace and joy. So lead us by the Spirit that we might follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, into creation which groans for love and healing.
In sorrow so deep we cannot find our way out, God cradles us in comfort. In the moments so shadowed we trip over our fears, God lights the way for us in joy which fades into our soul. God fills us with healing.
Even when we cannot see it, God's hope is all around us, surrounding us with peace and healing. Thanks be to God, for in Christ we are forgiven. Amen. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Bev. It is a joy to hear voices ring out, voices that we don't always hear. And that's not to say we don't appreciate Mindy and Jonathan. It's just to say it's really wonderful to have others come and join us. And I know Mindy would invite you all, as do I, to consider if you have a gift and you want to share it, Dora Taylor, please let Mindy know and we'll make sure that you're worked in to share in our worship of God with us. I know many of you miss singing, so come forward and you can sing. We have been walking with the Apostle Paul through Romans this summer a little bit. And we are focusing again on chapter 8 of his letter to the Roman church. It is a letter rich in meaning, rich in faith, rich in hope. So I invite you now to listen to God's word as God spoke through Paul to all followers of Christ. We begin at verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will attain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, lately, my friends, I have been feeling a lot like Scarlett O'Hara. There is so much suffering in this country right now that I simply want to think about it tomorrow. My fleshy desires, to put things in Paul's terminology, is that I want to focus myself on anything but what's happening with this stupid virus. Facing this thing head on can be terrifying. Weren't we supposed to have a summer respite from this before the second wave assaulted us in the fall? Well, thankfully, most of us are not directly affected. We're mostly retired. Our Social Security and pension checks arrive on time. Still, some of our younger members have been furloughed. Some are having difficulty finding jobs in their new careers. Looking at Corey. And we've known people who have become ill. But so far, no one in this congregation has personally fallen to it, my father notwithstanding. We're pretty lucky to live where we do. Bev and Lou just sang about America the Beautiful. When we do live in a beautiful area that happens to be far from that kind of place where suffering the worst of these current events is happening. In a way, you could say that we are truly socially distanced. And that can make it fairly easy for us to shut our eyes and choose to think about the world's problems tomorrow. Or is that really so? Sad to say, my friends, but we don't even need to leave our own homes, our own town, to see suffering. The great Ralph Waldo Emerson, 100-some-odd years ago, wrote, "Every roof is agreeable to the eye until it is lifted, and then we find tragedy and moaning women and hard-eyed husbands." Suffering abounds. For most of us, news images and worries about our families and friends who live next door or perhaps over in one of the governor's hot red counties rise up. These images rise up in the middle of the night like a bad dream. And such dreams often cause us to groan inwardly and make us want to ignore reality. But deep down, we cannot. And that's because we are children of God. And God's Holy Spirit is constantly nudging us to reopen our eyes to the world beyond our safe, green, and very beautiful corner. Now, these things of the world are not superficial or shallow concerns. There's serious meat on those troublesome bones. And we feel as though we have very little power over them. God's Spirit won't let us ignore the pain and suffering around us, be it in a friend's home or far away. But facing those issues which we might be able to counteract will require us to spend a huge amount of emotional energy. Remembering to maintain social distancing isn't fun, let alone easy. I have been known to get out of the car without my mask in tow and then halfway to wherever, have to turn around and retrieve it. Energy. And then when you have the whole debate over whether or not you should wear a mask. And yeah, baby, that is one hot potato. Because we want what we want, you know, that fleshy desire thing again. Sparks begin to fly and feelings are hurt. And we all suffer then. So we fear the disease. We fear thinking about the issues. We fear making one another angry. And soon, part of our spirit dies. Just thinking about how folks dig in their heels over the masking issue depletes my spirit. And all of this because we want our own way and have neglected, yeah, we've neglected, to ask God what God wants from us in this crisis. Good question, that. What does God want from us? Well, actually, the Westminster Catechism, the one many of you may have studied for your confirmation, it says God's greatest desire for us is that we love God and glorify God forever. And our brief statement of faith, which was written back in 1983, that points out that God also wants us to love ourselves and our neighbors. Let's look at this from Paul's words in today's reading. This is a huge question. And he points out that as baptized followers of Christ, we are all called out of the slavery of fear and adopted as God's own. Adopted. Adopted. In days of yore, when I was growing up, being adopted was made out to be some kind of secret, almost something to be ashamed of, as if kids were adopted because their parents didn't love them. And back in the 1800s, maybe even earlier, being adopted was oftentimes like being an indentured servant. What a sad perspective. Raise your hands now. Have any of you ever watched Modern Family on TV? A couple. Okay, well, you'll get this. In it, one of the couples adopts a little girl from China. And in one of the episodes, one of her daddies is trying to teach her that being adopted is not shameful. In fact, he's teaching her that being adopted is something to be celebrated. His lesson was like a game, and this little girl was pre-toddler, well, toddler anyway. And anytime anyone said the word adopted, a huge grin would sweep across his face, and he'd applaud for her. Adopted, yay! And pretty soon she was smiling and clapping too. People nowadays are adopted into a family because they are wanted, because they are loved. Paul would agree with that daddy. Adoption by God is indeed something to smile and applaud about. We aren't to be slaves or indentured servants. Those who have been adopted by God are God's heirs and joint heirs, co-heirs, if you will, with Jesus of all the wonderful goodness God wants to bestow on a person. Being adopted opens our hearts to glorifying the one who has called you his own. And being God's own includes receiving a new identity. But, as is usually the case, we can't snap our fingers to make that change happen instantaneously. Some characteristics and behaviors fall into place rather naturally, but others may not feel as intuitive and so take more time. We usually need to grow into the new life, just as little children grow into their adult selves over time. And since none of God's adopted family grows in lockstep with each other, we don't always understand how someone comes to a decision that, he or she may make, let alone agree with that decision. Consequently, we can get impatient with one another, and that too causes suffering. Sometimes our suffering is self-inflicted. For instance, maybe we've made a decision that hasn't been particularly well thought out. Other times, suffering is a result of someone else's choice. And regardless of its cause, we still need to consider the pain we feel through our parent God's eyes. Remember, God wants us to love God back and glorify him forever, and to love ourselves and our neighbors. Now, yes, both are difficult challenges. But if we love neighbor and self, we usually find that we are loving God too. And to do so means that we recognize that everyone is created equal to everyone else and in God's image. We find ways to live together in a harmonic community which offers justice and mercy to all of creation. We even seek to bless those who may harm or persecute us. Why can't that be easier? Perhaps the challenge would be less daunting if we understood the why behind the want. Now, I truly believe that God asks us to love self, others, and God fully, completely, so we may grow into the fullness, the wholeness, the completeness that God has always intended for us as human beings. living as God's adopted children brings us the life of shalom. That word, shalom, which means so much more than peace. And shalom is life that expresses the essence of deep, unmitigated, grace-filled, abiding love. This all means that God wants us to grow into beings who let go of fleshy desires like ignoring concerns which terrify us, or putting our personal preferences above God's desire. But going against fleshy desires runs, counterclockwise. Counterclockwise to how the world says that we should live. It means we might challenge those who live their lives in a particular way simply because that's just how it's always been. Living as God's adopted child can be scary stuff. But it is the best way we can truly express our love for God and glorify our Creator forever. Still wonder, can we ever get past sibling squabbles to the life that God wants for us? Still wonder, how on earth can we ever love God so much? Maybe I'll just think about that tomorrow. Quite frankly, other than to keep on loving, I don't have a silver bullet answer to this question. And yet, I hope we can find a way to love God as fully as God hopes. I hope we'll find a way around the discord in this world. I hope that God's glory can be revealed, as Paul says, to us. And I hope that each of you shares in these sentiments. For hope allows us to endure the suffering that we've been experiencing these days. Hope supports the courage that we need if we are to wait patiently for the future God has promised all adopted children. Hope gives us the energy we need to imagine life as it truly ought to be. It's a life where sibling squabbles and far worse evils, things like the diseases of hatred and poverty and incurable illnesses, are overcome. It's a life where we love God fully. And that hope is real, my friends. It is real because in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, those terrors have already been overcome. We just can't see it yet. We live in a time of already, but not yet. As God's children, brothers and sisters to Christ Jesus, we will each experience a variety of sufferings throughout our lives. Still, God's Holy Spirit is nudging us and reopening our eyes to see what lies beyond our fears and our foibles. The Spirit reminds us that because of Jesus, we need not lose heart. For in Him, God has promised there is more glory to be revealed, more love to be shared. And that, my friends, is a hope that I do want to think about today. May it be so for you likewise. Amen. Thank you.
Please rise and join me in the words that claim of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. In pre-COVID times, this would be the moment that we would begin passing plates in the hopes that you will respond to God's word and offer hope out into the world through the pledges of your heart, your mind, your soul, your hands, all of your resources. I invite you to think carefully about how you return to God that which God has given you and how you offer hope into the world. And I invite you now to share with me our dedication prayer. Friends, it is easy to say, I'll just think about it tomorrow. It doesn't have to be in a time such as this. It can be any day for suffering. Suffering comes when we least expect it. It can be under our own roofs or the roofs of a neighbor. It can be because we've argued. It can be because we have ignored someone's feelings. But friends, we have been adopted through the life, death, and resurrection of our brother Jesus. God has adopted us, and that in itself gives us hope. Hope not just for today, but for tomorrow and all the tomorrows in the future. So I implore you to go out, to share that hope, to help people find ways to come together, to be at peace with one another, even in this unusual time. But go knowing that you do not go alone. It is not all on your shoulders. The Holy Spirit, the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the whole community of God, which is in the Holy Spirit and in the church, go with each and every one of you, now and always. Amen.